Bitcoin Rodney pleads guilty in 1.8b. Hyperfund Ponzi Rodney Burton, a 56-year-old Miami promoter who built an online persona as Bitcoin Rodney, pleaded guilty this week over his role in Hyperfund, a scheme that pulled in roughly $1.8 billion from investors worldwide. The plea was entered in federal court in Baltimore, according to Decrypt's reporting on the case. Burton admitted to conspiracy to operate an unlicensed money-transmitting business and faces up to 5 years in prison. U.S. District Judge Richard D. Bennett set sentencing for July 23rd. The amount Burton personally took is smaller than the headline, but still large. Prosecutors say he made more than $7.8 million, promoting the platform and moving investor money through companies he controlled. The pitch that never added up Hyperfund sold memberships that promised daily returns of 0.5% to 1%, money the operators claimed came from a sprawling crypto mining business. Compounded, a 1% daily return implies an account doubling roughly every 2.5 months, a payout no legitimate mining operation has ever sustained. The mining operation did not exist. New deposits paid earlier members, which is the mechanical definition of a Ponzi scheme. The structure ran from June 2020 to January 2022 before it collapsed under its own math, leaving later entrants holding losses. Burton's job in that machine was distribution. He promoted Hyperfund to a large audience and ran entities that prosecutors describe as unlicensed money transmitters, the conduit that turned promotional reach into deposits. To widen that reach, he attached celebrity names to his brand, enlisting figures including Jamie Foxx and Rick Ross, and hosted a 2021 Miami crypto conference to Project Legitimacy. A money transmission charge, not a securities case, the specific charge matters. Burton pleaded to conspiracy to run an unlicensed money transmitting business, the same federal licensing regime that governs the boring regulated plumbing of crypto. Exchanges, custodians, and the issuers behind stablecoin spending. That framework requires registration, anti-money laundering controls, and state-level money transmitter licenses. A legitimate crypto card program leans on partners who hold exactly those licenses. Hyperfund's operators skipped the regime entirely, which is part of why the conduct was prosecutable, even where proving each victim's securities loss would be harder. The case is one strand of a broader crackdown on Hyperfund, which also operated under the names Hyperverse and Hypertech. Other figures tied to the umbrella have faced U.S. charges over the same $1.8 billion in total losses, with the network marketed aggressively across Asia, Africa, and Latin America during its run. Signals the average crypto user can actually catch the Hyperfund template repeats across most large crypto frauds, and the warning signs are not subtle once you know them. A fixed daily or weekly return, especially one quoted as a percentage, is the clearest tell, because real investment returns are variable and no one can guarantee them. Vague references to a profit engine that cannot be inspected, a mining operation with no verifiable hash rate or audited output, is the second. Heavy reliance on referral commissions and recruitment rather than an actual product is the third. There's also a custody lesson here that maps directly onto how people should think about where their money sits. Hyperfund members did not control their funds. They sent crypto into a pooled account run by operators they could not see and could not audit, which is the same counterparty exposure that has frozen or erased balances in past collapses. Products that let you spend from your own wallet exist precisely to remove that single point of failure. Self-custody does not make a scheme honest, but it does mean no operator can quietly recycle your deposit into someone else's withdrawal. For anyone evaluating a yield offer, the practical filter is simple. Ask who holds the money, whether that entity is licensed where you live, and where the return actually comes from. If the answer to any of the three is unclear, the offer is not an opportunity, it is exposure.